So you're not the only one who's bad at setting boundaries. We all are. We've been taught not to set boundaries, and we've been rewarded for not setting boundaries. So that's why I think this is a transition to wisdom years, because we have to set our priorities before we set boundaries. We have to know who we want to be, how we want to show up, who we want to serve, and when, and then be able to say no to the rest. And that's so hard for me to do.
Welcome to This is Perimenopause, the podcast where we delve into the transformative journey of perimenopause and beyond. I'm one of your hosts, Mikkel.
And I'm your other host, Michelle. And we know firsthand how confusing, overwhelming, and downright lonely this phase of life can be.
Join us as we share real-life stories and expert advice to help you navigate this journey and advocate for your best health.
We used to think menopause signaled an end, but really, it's just the beginning. If perimenopause has you feeling like a stranger in your own skin, you need to check out Dr. Kirsten Smith's Peri Collective. It's an incredible five-week program complete with live coaching, lifelong access to resources, and a community of women just like you. This program goes deep on what's actually happening to our bodies and brains in perimenopause and provides easy-to-implement tips to help transform your journey. She covers topics like stress, nutrition, exercise, and HRT. And our listeners who sign up by April 24th, that's today, ladies, get a 20% discount using the code ThisIsPeri20. To learn more about Dr. Kirsten Smith and the Peri Collective, check out her website. Or you can listen to our amazing conversation. Both links are in the show notes.
We're excited to welcome back Monica Badurka to our podcast. Today, we're delving into Chapter 12 of her book, where Monica explores the intersection of productivity and well-being. Join us as she shares practical strategies for managing energy, minimizing distractions, and fostering self-care and resilience. Tools every woman needs to be productive, but especially during perimenopause. Monica, we're so thrilled to have you back on the show. Hi, Monica. Welcome back.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here. So excited.
So happy to have you. Michelle is not joining us. Well, she may try to jump in later, but she had something pop up with her child, which kind of relates to the topic we're going to be delving into today. And I know when we spoke the last time and we went through your book, I brought up the notion of productivity really is ingrained in us. And especially for me, it's about work more, work more, work more, get as much done as you possibly can. And I have always felt that productivity is hampered or damaged by rest, or rest and productivity, you know, don't go together. So it was really particularly important for me to have you come on again and teach me. And I suspect a lot of our listeners how important rest is in the context of productivity. And I think today we're going to dive into chapter 12 of your book, which is about rest and recharge and the concept of work recovery and why it is so important, or so how it's correlated to productivity.
I love this topic. We in North America just need this. And I mean, I always say I teach what I need to learn or what I need to embody and know. So I really am a student of this, because I think we're taught to go, go, go and do. And I always love that saying that we're human beings, not human doings. So I'm healing from the hustle. That is currently my mandate, like my goal for 2024. It's like heal from the hustle and sort of find flow. Right? Find flow. And even as we take on these new habits and behaviors that make us more resilient, find the enjoyment and the ease in them. That's the goal of today's session.
Could you maybe take a moment and just describe flow for some folks who might not be familiar with the concept?
Do you know, it's almost funny. I almost want to define it a little bit after we talk.
Oh, like when okay.
Sense that when we talk about productivity, my book is on resilience. Again, resilience is largely about how you recharge, so that when there's multiple stressors and all these multiple things to do, you actually have the energy reserves to be able to handle them. And productivity is correlated with our energy, right? And what's really important, and what really was a big aha for me, was that we do not have energy, right? We generate energy. We're like these power plants that generate energy. So if you go, 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 like you described yourself, and you do, what ends up happening is we deplete those resources. And there's all these amazing ways to actually keep recharging through the day without it being this big thing, right? You know, our bodies are cyclical, right? So we've got this circadian rhythm, right? Which is our 24-hour kind of biological clock. And within that clock, we sleep 8 hours. And that's a big way to generate our energy, right? Like when we're not sleeping, it's really hard to have the energy to go through the day. And we know that, especially in perimenopause, when so many women struggle with sleep. If we're not sleeping, it's like somebody's punched us in the face. Like we can't, we just can't show up as our best selves. And we also remember that from when we had little kids and they weren't sleeping. It was like, oh my goodness. So that's really huge. And we've got that 24-hour clock. But within that 24-hour period, we have something called an ultradian rhythm, which is this cycle where we oscillate between moments of kind of peak energy, right? Where we sort of go up, there's a cycle, we go up, and then we come down. And so instead of it being go, 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 a straight line where we work right through the day, what ends up happening is that these valleys, like peaks and valleys, and then peak and valley. And it's this beautiful oscillating rhythm. And so we don't, you know, so many of the people I deal with, so many of the women I work with and workshops I go in to do, people are saying, we're stressed out, we're burnt out, our central nervous system is shot, and we can't take on these habits and behaviors of resilient people because we don't have the time to add any more habits. And then there's a lot of guilt around it of like, oh, I'm not doing this, and I said I would. We don't even need to go there right now. If we learn how to work according to a cycle like that, all of a sudden we could be a little bit more productive. We can get more done, right? So this is about, again, like I said, we can manage our energy, not our time, to become more productive. So what does that cycle look like? So basically, generally speaking, for most people, it's a 90 to 120 minute cycle. And at the start of the cycle, the first hour or so is our most productive or our peak alertness. Even our glucose levels tend to be higher. Our eyes don't hurt. And then what ends up happening is after that hour period, we actually start going down, right? So that's when you sort of start noticing you're a little bit more distracted. You might be feeling like you want to eat something sweet. You might want a coffee.
More coffee. Dear God.
Right?
More
like coffee. All those things start happening and you kind of hit the bottom at that 90 minute mark, which signals that you are due for a rest. Now, what I find is for myself, and this is where I love to say we are our own labs, right? So we have to figure out our own rhythm. Mm-hmm. And for me, that comes at about the hour 50 to 60 minute mark, right? Where I take a break. And it's really interesting. There's also been really great studies on leaders. So top performing leaders. And what they found, there's one study, and I'm going to find it for you, which showed that of these top performing CEOs and leaders, on average, they were taking a break every 52 minutes, and the break lasted between 4 and 17 minutes. Hmm. And it didn't matter as much what they did, as much as the fact that they took that break.
Interesting.
Right? And so it was that 52 minute mark, and it doesn't have to be a long break. So for me, what I do is I set, you know, there's these things called the Pomodoro method, and you can set a timer. So I do set a timer on my computer. I don't set it for 25 minutes. I find that's too short for me. Mm-hmm. So I set it usually for 50 minutes to 60 minutes. After that, I take a break. I don't wait to get to the 90 minute because sometimes it's almost hard to come back. What I like to do is actually work for about 50 minutes to 60 minutes and take about a 7 minute break is good for me, up to 10 minutes. And what then I do is, and this is where my yoga comes in. What I do is I counterbalance that. So I stand up. I'm standing now, right? I stand up, my feet on the ground. I notice my feet on the ground. I align. So I kind of created, I don't know, my yoga teachers would be horrified, the ABCs, right? So first of all, I want to align my spine, right? Spine is the superhighway that communicates with your prefrontal cortex. through the brainstem. So you want to align that spine to bring your prefrontal cortex back online. It relaxes the prefrontal cortex. It tells it you're not in fight or flight, right? So roll back your shoulders as part of that alignment, right? So
I'm doing it right now.
Right. Roll back your shoulder. Tuck your chin, which again, aligns the kind of the neck, right? So that's the first thing, align the spine. Then what do I want to do? I want to breathe, right? So A, B, breathe. I want to breathe into my diaphragm, right? I don't want to be shoulder breathing up here or mouth breathing. That's telling my body I'm in stress. What I want to do is I want to breathe into that beautiful diaphragm. And I want to almost imagine myself, it's kind of like the diaphragm is expanding. So I'm breathing in. So the upper abdomen kind of expels, but almost so do the ribs, right? So I'm breathing in. You almost want to breathe in even audibly. So that brings me back to the sea. In many cultures, we chant. You don't have to chant, but you can hum. You could exhale for a little longer than you're inhaling. So you can go, you can sigh, or you can just, again, breathe audibly, which is like you're sending the signal to your nervous system. You're okay, right? And you're calming. That's your other C. So you're calming. You can chant, you can sing, you can whatever. The idea is you're changing your state. Some people like movement, like often in my break, that's why I like 7 minutes, I'll do yoga. I'll do a series of sun salutations, right? Mm-hmm. You want to go, you want to run, many people bounce, right? So especially if they've got rebounders, right? What you're doing is you're getting the oxygen in your body, in your brain, you're resetting, right? And you're fully taking a break. So you're not on your computer, you're not on your phone. You run up the stairs, you know, go to the washroom, drink some water, you're resetting. That then allows you to go back in for the next 15 minutes and really, really concentrate.
I would imagine when you first started trying this, because I'm thinking about me taking a 7-minute break, and I do try to take breaks, but it is really hard not to get distracted beyond the 7 minutes.
Well, but I think it's fine. You don't want to go beyond 20 necessarily, but you know, you can work for 90. If it works for you, again, experiment on yourself. You might work for 90 and that might work for you. Mm-hmm. And then take a 20-minute break.
Yeah. I think more for me, what I'm thinking of is resisting the urge to check my emails or right. to delve into other things that then suddenly it's 45 minutes. I've missed the window. And now I'm stressed because, you know, so I think I'm just wondering, is there a discipline practice around setting the bigger window, maybe? Does that make sense?
Right. So I think what we need to do is define rest and recharge. Mm-hmm. When you're on the phone and checking emails, that's not rest and recharge.
That's true.
Right? It's not. Your eyes are still strained. You're looking at you're looking at your little phone. You're still hunching. You're hunching. You're breathing. You might read something there that really disturbs you and takes your mind off. We're talking peak performance here. We want to be in our best shape. So if you're doing if you're working on an amazing project, and part of this is intentionality. Knowing where you're going, what are your big projects you want to move forward, really having a vision of where you're going, that really helps. And that helps with energy too. And that helps you prioritize. And then that's actually, you know, kind of one of the strategies as well, really knowing your priorities and doing them up front, usually, so you get them done, right? And then later in the day, it's also knowing your cycle, you know, when maybe you're in general not as productive, you might give yourself allocated time for the emails. Like, for example, I do some of my social media posting because I will get sucked into stuff. I tend to do it after like 3 o'clock.
Right.
Right. I won't do the writing or some of these other things at that time. I want to do those at 11, at 10. I want to do them in the morning. But rest is, it's really important to define that rest and recharge. It's really disconnecting to recharge, right? So you're not on your email, you're doing something physical, you're physically energizing your body. And it's oxygen. Oxygen is so important to us. And our eyes get so strained. And what ends up happening is when we don't take those breaks, if you push through, like we've been taught to kind of to be gritty and knuckle sort of our way through these, like I'm going to push my way. And what ends up happening is you will kind of come back up. But you don't go up, like, so again, because remember, it's these cycles we have. You will come back up. You just won't, you won't be as productive. And then it starts decreasing, decreasing, decreasing until you start burning out. And in fact, there's all these studies where they looked at these ultradian rhythms and they looked at, you know, where people were ignoring these biological cycles and really pushing through, their inflammation markers go up. It's not just that they become less productive and perform worse. There's more errors that are done. People become irritable, right? Think about it. When you're sitting there and you're working and you're hunched and you're pushing, pushing, pushing. And then, you know, let's say you're working at home and maybe your kids are home or somebody asks you something and you are not very nice. Like our physiology determines our psychology. Mental well-being. This is why exercise is so amazing. It's not just because we do it to be toned or something. That's a nice side benefit. It changes our state, right? There's all these beautiful chemicals released, the dopamine, the serotonin. Again, the oxygen starts moving through the 72,000 nadis in our body. I don't know the word for nadi in English. That's a Sanskrit word from yoga, but it's those little meridian points through which the prana, the energy, our life force, the oxygen moves through. So when we're moving, it's moving, right? And then we have more energy. So yeah, so when we push through and we don't break, we're not able to communicate as well. We're not able to be as innovative. We're not able to be as creative. Like, we need to do this if we want to be our best selves. And again, it doesn't require more time, because what they find is people who don't break aren't as productive.
Yeah. What struck me when you were talking about we need to create energy. We need energy reserves to handle the stressors that come at us. And in perimenopause, that is arguably peak life stressors, right? There's everything coming at us from all angles. What struck me as well is you need energy to be able to set and in particular hold boundaries. And I think that's something we're not very good at in perimenopause, or women in general, is saying, no, I can't take this on. But it's because it's hard to do, and it takes a lot of energy until I think you get very practiced at it. At least it does for me. I'm trying my best, but I suck at it.
Oh, do you know what? You don't just suck at it. We've been taught this. So let's look at, you know, the typical woman in menopause, right? Or perimenopause. Like, we've got, you know, a lot of the time you've got kids, you've got big jobs, or you're running companies, mm-hmm. or podcasts. you've got maybe a partner, you've got aging parents that maybe you're looking like, and we've been taught to be good girls. We've been taught to serve. We've been taught from the earliest of days. And I look at my children now, I have two daughters, 12 and 14. And I see them, they go to school all day. They are taught, you know, to be good, to listen to their teachers, to do everything they're told to do. Then they're taught to come home and do homework, right? In between, they have some activities and they have to listen to their parents, right? Like, we're taught to go, 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 do, 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 listen to your parents, then listen to your teachers later, listen to your professors, then you go to work, listen and do the work your boss requires. If you get married, listen to your husband. Like, I'm being facetious, but like, the idea is you're always doing for others, and you're taught and you're rewarded for doing all that. And suddenly, I think the beauty of this age is you wake up and it's like a dashboard light on your car, because that's not flying anymore, yeah. Right? Because you just can't handle it. And those lights go out and you don't feel good, right? So a lot of women maybe will struggle with anger, because all of a sudden they're like, well, where am I in this equation? Mm-hmm. Why am I serving everybody? Like, where am I? Well, because we've been taught to put ourselves absolutely last. We've been taught that self-care is bad. But the fact of the matter is if we don't care for ourselves, we can't care for those people. And now there's all this research that shows that if you're not engaging in some sort of self-care, it's going to manifest in massive disease. You're going to get sick. So you're not the only one who's bad at setting boundaries. We all are. We've been taught not to set boundaries, and we've been rewarded for not setting boundaries. So that's why I think this is a transition to wisdom years. Because we have to set our priorities before we set boundaries. We have to know who we want to be, how we want to show up, who we want to serve, and when. And then be able to say no to the rest. And that's so hard for me to do. It's like, I'm right. And it's like anxiety. I'm like, oh, I do it. And they're not going to like me.
Oh my God, they're not going to like me.
Oh my God. Or I'll seem like I'm lazy or I'm a bad person and I want to be liked and loved and blah, 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 blah. So it's not just you.
So we all need your help, Monica. So we need to, right? We need to, I think the first step, which you've talked about, and this is the first part in chapter 12, is learning that it's more important to manage your energy than your time even, right? You need to manage both. The energy is probably more important. So that's great. But then I think people are stuck at, okay, so what does that mean? What are my seven, what do I do in those 7 minutes, right? And I think maybe we could talk a little bit about the fact that you need to plan. And what does that look like? And if you're not into yoga, what is something else you could do during those 7 minutes?
Yes, absolutely. So this, I mean, there's so many things. One, yes, it's all about planning. It's all about knowing who you want to be, how you want to show up, and being intentional about it. So it's almost like even in the morning, and my yoga teacher said this, middle-aged sounds so bad, but let's.
It is what it is.
Say women of a certain age. It is what it is. Okay. So what she was saying is don't jump out of bed. Don't jump out of bed. Take the time to think about, you know, it's almost like do a meditation, right? A little meditation where you envision how you want to show up and who you want to be in that day. It's really about intentionality and really knowing that, right? So it's before we even get into all the practices, really starting there, right? As part of your morning routine, grounding into yourself, remembering who you are and who you want to be. It kind of reminds me of even, and this was in the 80s, and there's this really cheesy video Stephen Covey does on First Things First. And he does these, I don't know if you've seen it, the jars.
Oh, with the big rocks. Yes.
Or the rocks. And it's hilarious because literally it's from the 80s and the CEO lady comes up and he has her put all these things in the jar. And of course they don't fit. And then later it's like, well, take your big rocks, right? The big rocks. What are their most important things and put them in the jar first, right? This is why I don't even open my emails in the morning because those generally aren't my big rocks, right? I can open them later. So put those big rocks in first and then I'll fill it in with all the little sand later, right? So it does start with knowing your priorities, right? And then based on that, setting your boundaries. And then again, managing your energy, right? And we talk in my book, I talk a lot about other practices to manage your energy. And it's all about physicality, which we've forgotten about because we're sitting in front of computers all day. So it is about the sleeping and moving and eating well. But it's also about following that ultradian rhythm and taking breaks. And then what can you do in the break? And we can do that here now. We can,
please.
Take a breath. So like I said, what I do is it's like the counterbalance. So it's the counterbalance to everything I'm doing on the computer. So I stand up. So you can, if anybody's listening, they can stand up right now. I notice my feet on the ground. So I'm grounding myself. So I notice if I'm wearing shoes or if I'm not wearing shoes, I notice if there's a carpet under my feet or not. I just notice. And what it is it's just, it's a mindful connection. It's getting present, right? Cause I'm so disconnected when I'm in the computer, the computer. And then I align, right? So now I go into those ABCs. I align my spine, right? How do I do that? There's a slight C curve in the spine. I roll my shoulders back. I tuck my chin to lengthen my neck. Now I'm in a yogic pose, what they call tree pose or Tadasana. I lengthen that spine. So it's the counter pose to, you know, how we sit at the computer. So that's my A, align. B, I take a depth. I notice my breath first. So I first notice my breath. So let's just notice our breath for a minute. So you can close your eyes if that's comfortable to you and you notice your breath. You notice the cool air coming in and notice warm air on your exhale. And you sort of do that a few minutes. You're like, oh, and as you notice your breath, you actually will notice that it's kind of lengthening. So then you can play with it. So you inhale and you notice the breath is cool and it's on the exhale, it's warm. And then you can start playing with lengthening that breath. So you can inhale for four, for example. And now you can exhale and try to exhale for six. So you do that again. You inhale for four. Exhale for six. Six, five, four, three, two, one. And you do that a few times. You can also inhale for four. And now you can sigh. That's probably been about six, right? So you're letting go, you're releasing. We're exhaling for longer than we're inhaling because we're signaling our nervous system that we're okay. There's the two. There's the sympathetic nervous system, which is that fight, flight, or freeze. And I will tell you, one of the reasons I try to avoid my emails, especially early on or before I take on a project, is it puts me in freeze. It puts me in freeze because I'm like, oh my God, there's like 60 emails since I looked last. And I have to respond to them thoughtfully. And I'm like, my stomach just like seizes up. And I'm like, and then my shoulders go up. And look what, I mean, again, we're not, this is on audio, but like, that's what happens to me. So I go into freeze then. So now before I open those emails, I do this. I align my spine. I roll my shoulders back. I take a few deep breaths. I might sigh. And then I tell myself I'm going to open one. Right? Now I'm working with my nervous system.
Right.
And guess what happens? Usually I end up working through more than one. I'm working with my nervous system and I'm not beating myself up for it because I know that's what's happening to me, right? I'm having trauma around my email. There's been times in my life where I said I declared email bankruptcy because it got so bad, right? I was like, oh my God, I'm going to start again.
Delete it all.
Because it's right. So that kind of break, the ABC, align, breathe, and calm, and close your eyes and chant. We want to close our eyes because our eyes are so strained. They're so strained from the blue light and the intent and focusing. So you really want to do something. You can do this 20-20-20 method. Every 20 minutes, you want to look up from your computer 20 meters away for 20 seconds, right? So that's another thing you can do. The idea is you want to rest those eyes. So we're working with our body, right, to be able to optimize our brain and our mental and emotional capacity because it's all connected. Because like I said, when we push through and we work past that 90-minute mark, everything starts decreasing, right? Our productivity goes down. Our eye strain goes up. We notice we want to eat sugar. We notice we want coffee. We notice we're more irritable. We're less patient. You might start noticing you're anxious. You just are like, why am I doing this? You might get frustrated. That's your signal that you should have taken a break. And so if you haven't, you better take one now, right? And don't beat yourself up for it. It's just your body talking to you. It can be very simple. It doesn't require a huge overhaul of your life. But what it does require is mindfulness and intentionality.
It's common sense in common. It's not common practice. And it's something that we've never been taught. We've actually been taught the complete opposite. So I think it does take an investment. The good news is every perimenopausal woman I know is an extraordinary planner. They can plan the shit out of anything except for themselves. And I think we just need to give ourselves permission to use those amazing skills to help ourselves, to make us better, right? And to give us the space we need to find our energy stores and to, I'd say, be more productive, but ultimately be happy. I think we've touched on most of the topics in the one chapter from your amazing book, which everybody, every perimenopausal woman in particular should read. It's fantastic. And we'll have information on your book, A New Way to Be, in the show notes. God, we could probably go on and talk about this for hours and hours more, but for the sake of time, I think we should probably end here. Monica, what's the one thing you'd like to leave our listeners with today in the context of rest and recovery?
I think the one thing I would really like people to do, actually, as we've talked about so much today, is for everybody to take 30 seconds now and identify what's one thing that they will do. So, right, it is about doing this, right? It's not, we know all this already. So it's about what are they going to implement? So what is one thing you can do today? It may be to put your phone in another room. It may be to just notice your own cycles. It may be to take a break. It may be to implement that breath. But what's that one thing that you're going to do? Write it down, tell a friend, and start experimenting and see what happens.
I will. I am. I did it mentally. Now I'm going to write it down.
Mentally. Okay, you can write it down after this.
Thank you so much. I think we need to make this a regular thing where you teach us how to be human instead of the machines holding up the world, right?
Yeah, we need to unlearn. We need to unlearn and unschool ourselves and find ourselves again. So absolutely. And I'd love to. I'd love to be regular. So I'm happy to come back anytime. Thank you. Thank you. It's such a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. If you like what you hear, please take a moment to rate and subscribe to our podcast. When you do this, it helps to raise our podcast profile so more women can find us and get a little better understanding of what to expect in perimenopause.
We also read all the reviews, the good, the bad, and the ugly, to help us continuously improve our show. We would love to hear from you. You can connect with us through the podcast, on social media, or through our website. Our information, as well as links and details from our conversation today, can be found in the show notes. This podcast is for general information only. It's designed to educate, inspire, and support you on your personal journey through perimenopause. The information and opinions on this podcast are not intended to be a substitution for primary care, diagnosis, or treatment. The information on this podcast does not replace professional healthcare advice. The use of the information discussed is at the sole discretion of the listener. If you are suffering from symptoms or have questions, please consult a qualified healthcare practitioner.